You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
This morning, we are kicking off a new series called Sent. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be teaching about God's purpose for our lives and living with a sense of mission, living with a sense of being sent out into the world to do God's work. So hold that thought for just a moment. Let me ask you this. How many of you are excited and looking forward to some vacation time this summer? Anybody ready for some vacation? Yes. Some of y'all are like, can I please get a vacation? Some of you already went on vacation. You came back in here today looking all tan and relaxed and rested. Quit making the rest of us look bad. Some of us haven't gone yet. We can't wait. Me and my family, we're going in just a few weeks, and I'm really looking forward to that, to have some time away, some much-needed family time together. And how many of you know there's a difference between vacation mode and work mode? Like two different mindsets completely, right? Just two different mindsets completely. Like some of you, you're typical New Yorkers. Like when you get up for the work week, you get a cup of coffee in you. Like you get in the zone, you get dressed for work, you're ready to go. You get to Grand Central. If somebody steps in your way, you will trample them. Okay? I mean, some of you, you're driving on the way to work on the parkways and on the throughway. You're like a driver in the Indianapolis 500. You're cutting and weaving in and out. You're honking your horn. Come on, New Yorkers know how to use our horns, don't we? You ought to see me at LaGuardia Airport fighting with those taxis. Don't honk at me, I'll honk right back at you. I will give it to you. That's some of you during the week. You're in the zone. You wake up like you're on mission. You're ready to go. There's work mode you, and then there's vacation mode you. When you're on vacation, it's like you're a different person. Come on, you're delightful. Like you sleep in every day. You wake up, you're carefree. You know, you talk to your family. What do you want to do today? I don't know. What do you want to do? Do you want to go to the pool today? I don't know. Maybe. Do we want to go to the beach? I don't know. Maybe. Should we feed the kids today? I don't know. Maybe. You're just laid back, you know? Like, I don't know, what do you want to do? It's just a different mode, right? Because during the week, like when you're getting ready for work, you're on mission, you're focused. And here's the idea this morning. We operate differently when we have a sense of mission. When we have a sense of purpose, a sense of mission, there's a different way that we operate, right? There's a different mode that we're in, a different way of thinking, a different way of seeing the world. Put it this way. Think about it this way. Imagine an ambassador who goes to another nation representing his home country, right? That ambassador's there on a mission to represent his country. That's a different experience than visiting a nation just for vacation, right? To check out their beautiful beaches or whatever. It's a different mindset. There's a mission. Can I tell you that there's a mission for your life? There's a purpose for your life. If you're a follower of Christ, we are living on mission. Jesus has given us a mission as his followers. And we want to talk about that for the next few weeks. Now, I want to set this up with a foundational scripture from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22, where Jesus talks to this idea of being sent to his disciples. I'll set this up for you. This is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. At this point, Jesus hasn't appeared to the disciples or all of them yet collectively. So there's a lot of fear and chaos and confusion. Like the body of Jesus is missing. The disciples have gone to the tomb. They're scared. They're hiding behind closed doors, wondering if the religious leaders are going to come and arrest them and kill them next when Jesus appears to them. Look at this, John chapter 20. Verses 19 through 22. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, look at this, he said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, as the Father has sent me, right? The Father sent Jesus, his son, to the world, to this planet on a mission to redeem humanity. Jesus came full of purpose, right? Full of mission. And he said, as the Father sent me, I'm conferring that to you. I am sending you out to continue my work, to go out and preach the good news, to build the kingdom. And then he breathed on them and he gave them the Holy Spirit. Here's the idea this morning. To be a Christian is to be sent. See, Jesus not only calls us to follow him, he sends us out to do his work. With salvation comes an invitation to join God in his work of redemption in this world. So you and I, we have a mission. We're sent to share the good news to people around us. We're sent to the poor and the broken. We're sent to expand the kingdom of God wherever we go. We're sent. Turn to somebody and say, you're sent. Come on, preach to them this morning. You're sent. You have a mission. You have purpose. There's a calling on your life. Think about this for just a moment. We're so familiar with the story that it doesn't like strike us the way it should. But here's Jesus. He comes, the Son of God in flesh and blood, to this planet. And for 3 years, he preaches, he teaches, he performs miracles, he raises the dead, he sets people free. He does all of these amazing things. He goes to the cross and redeems humanity from the curse of sin. He resurrects. And then he turns everything over to the disciples. I mean, we know the story so well that we kind of take it for granted. Think about this. Jesus turned over his legacy, his mission, his work, everything he had done, his church, and he gives it to this like ragtag group of disciples. And he says, I want you to go out and do it. I'm sending you out into the world to continue my work. And you and me, 2,000 years later, if you're a Christian, you're a disciple, you're a follower of Christ, we inherit this legacy, right? The church is still continuing on 2,000 years later, same call, same mission that he gave to the early apostles. And yet, we go through life sometimes like everybody else, even as Christians. Like, we know this. We've read this before. We've heard this before, many of us. And yet, we can kind of just drift through life, forgetting that we have any kind of purpose that sets us apart as Christians. So how does that happen? Well, let me just give you a few reasons that I think we lose our sense of sentness. First of all, we just get busy and we get distracted. I mean, we have, you know, jobs and bills to pay and families to take care of and careers and obligations. And we can just get caught up in the rat race and the hustle and bustle like everybody else. And we can forget that we have a sense of mission over our lives. You know, it's kind of like when, you know, husbands, you'll understand this, like when a wife sends a husband to the store to get something, you know, he's on a mission, right? Like wives, sometimes you send husbands to Target. I need you to go grab something. And what happens to us, guys? We get inside Target and we mean well. Like, we mean to go get what mama sent us to go get. It's just that we happen to drift past the electronics department. Can I get an amen, guys? We go past the electronics department, and then we see all the new televisions that are out. And we're like cavemen seeing a campfire. We're like moths to the flame. And next thing you know, we walk in a house with a 55-inch screen television, and we didn't get the very thing that our wives sent us to get. We drifted. We got distracted, right? These things happen. Come on, ladies. Pray for us. We need you. Have mercy on us. We get busy, we get distracted. That's what happens with us in life. We get busy doing all these things and we forget this sense of sentness that we have as Christians. Then here's another reason. Some of us come from church backgrounds that didn't emphasize mission. Sadly, there are many churches, and some of us have grown up in churches where everything is inward focused and it's all about tradition, and church is like a little social club and we're all kind of here for each other. Let's all hold hands and sing kumbaya. Like, it's so nice that we all have each other, except the rest of the world's falling apart, you know, but we have each other. This is great. Some of us don't come from church backgrounds where we have this instilled in us that there's a sense of mission. Can I tell you that we are the church of Jesus Christ, and we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the world. And that's why we need something like Serve Day. Serve Day is like a good wake-up call. Serve Day, can I just let you in on a little bit of secret here? Serve Day isn't really for everybody else. Oh, yeah, we're going to go and serve other people, but we need Serve Day. Like, we need this reminder, right, to get into a different mode, that we're the church. We're positioned to serve. We need a little wake-up call every now and then that we exist for the world, that Jesus sent us out to be his hands and his feet to do his work in this world. And so I can just tell you, if we don't stay super intentional about this, the church of Jesus Christ will always drift if we don't stay intentional about mission. We got to stay focused on this. Like, no, we're called. We're sent out to reach the world with the good news. Here's the third thing. We live in a consumer culture. Let's just be honest. We live in a consumer culture, a your way, right away, iPhone, iPad, me at the center of everything world, don't we? I mean, we live in a world where every day we're bombarded by this message of self-fulfillment, that the greatest thing you could ever do in the world is make yourself happy, make yourself the center of the universe. This is the water we are swimming in. This is the air we are breathing like every day. And if we're not careful, we can begin to live with that same kind of mindset. We can have the same priorities as everybody else. We spend our money the same way. We spend our time the same way. We prioritize the same things that everybody else prioritizes. But yet we're supposed to have this call in our lives. as followers of Christ. Like, you have the greatest purpose, the greatest mission that the world has ever known. And yet, if we're not careful, we can become consumers. Can I just be honest with you? We can even become consumers of church. We can come to church and feel like, well, the church is just another service that I consume. And, oh, the worship was pretty good. You know, I give it a 9. And Pastor Jeremy was a little bit off today. I give him an 8. You know, we can kind of consume church if we're not careful. But can I just tell you this morning that we have a purpose that's greater? We need a little wake-up call. Let me share this quote with you from an author named Kevin Turner. He said, "The gospel of Christ is inherently a missionary gospel. It is a message that changes a life, changes a course, changes affections, changes values, changes worldview, changes love, changes loyalty, and should change either our giving or our going or both. But the gospel cannot leave you as you are, the way you are and where you are, or it cannot possibly be the gospel that you have received." See, Jesus calls us to live lives of radical purpose. You know, the sad thing is that many people think the last place they can find purpose is the church. It's sad. There's a generation of young people who are leaving the church, especially traditional churches, in droves because they couldn't find purpose in the church. And why is that? I think we kind of tamed the purpose of the church and we made it about little polite religion. When Jesus gave us like a radical purpose to go out and flip the world upside down to see his kingdom expand. And so I just want to tell you this morning, you might not feel like, you know, as you're hearing these words, you might say, well, Pastor Jeremy, like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm up for the task. I don't feel so spiritual. You know, I don't have a great Bible education like you, or I'm just a this, or I'm just a stay-at-home mom, or I'm just a teacher. I'm just an accountant. I'm just a construction worker. Can I tell you this morning, you're not just nothing. You are a child of God. You have the call of God on your life. You have the purpose of God in your heart. The Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you to expand the kingdom of God everywhere you go. That's who you're called to be. You're not just anything. You have a purpose over your life. Can I just give good news to you this morning? No matter where you are this morning in your spiritual journey, whether you consider yourself to be a follower of Christ or you're coming to church for the first time in a long time, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, if you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to know God has a purpose for your life. Some of you are in a season right now where it's confusing. You're not quite sure where to go with your career. You have some big choices ahead of you, maybe some significant relationship decisions. I don't know. And life seems a little bit confusing right now. But can I clarify one thing for you? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have purpose. You have purpose over your life. Like God needs you. There is no plan B. The church of Jesus Christ is his plan A in this world. You carry his presence in this world. You bring his kingdom with you wherever you go. And there's a purpose over your life. It's a purpose over your life. And so each week in this series, we're going to discuss how we're sent. We're going to look at some different areas, different things God is sending us and calling us to do. Today, I want us to look at an important scripture. It comes from Matthew chapter 28. This is called the Great Commission. Some of you have heard of this scripture before. It's a foundational scripture, very important scripture in the Bible, in the Gospels. Matthew chapter 28, I'll set this up for you, okay? Jesus is meeting with his disciples for a final time. After the crucifixion, after the resurrection, he's about to ascend back into heaven. Some of you come from a church tradition where you celebrated the Feast of the Ascension. This is that episode. Jesus is about to ascend back into heaven to the Father, and he has this encounter with his disciples. Look at this, Matthew 28. I have been given, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So Jesus meets with the disciples and he says, listen, the Father gave me all authority when I was on earth, and now I'm transferring some of that to you, and I'm commissioning you to go out and to make disciples, to keep spreading this message, to go out and build the church. He commissions his disciples. Now, I looked up this word commission. It means to order or to authorize a person or organization to do or produce something. As the church of Jesus Christ, we have been authorized to go out and to build his kingdom, to build his church, to spread this message. God's going to do it ultimately, but he does it through us. We're entrusted with this message, with the good news. And so in the midst of this very confusing time for the disciples, they had just come off this whirlwind season. They'd been following Christ for 3 years, and then they watch him crucified in a tomb for 3 days and resurrected. I mean, their heads are still spinning. Jesus appears to them a few times, and before they know it, they're having their last encounter with Jesus. But before he goes, in the midst of their confusion and their doubts and their lack of purpose, he clarifies what their lives were to be about from this point on. And it was spreading his message. It was making disciples and seeing his kingdom and his church spread throughout the world. So here's the main idea for today. This is our sent idea for today. We are sent to share the good news. We are sent to share the good news. God is sending you. He is sending you to people around you to share the gospel, the good news of redemption through Christ with people around us. Now, for some of you, as we talk about this idea, the apprehension and the stress begins to build on the inside of you right away. Like, well, Pastor Jeremy, I don't know if I know how to do that. Are you telling me I have to go out and start preaching to people? Like, I see crazy people preaching in the subway. Like, the end of the world is coming. Like, I really don't know the Bible that well. I'm not perfect. I'm not super spiritual. I'm still getting there. What if someone asks me, like, a difficult question? Or what if I offend someone in sharing my faith? I know there's 1,000 different reasons that we can disqualify ourselves from doing this, okay? But can I just tell you that if you're a follower of Christ, we're all called to do this. There's no opt-out clause. Like, God has called all of us to share his good news. Can I just encourage you this morning? If you were here last week, how many of you were here last week and heard Pastor Jeff? My pastor was here. If you didn't hear him, you need to listen to the podcast. Listen to the podcast. Pastor Jeff encouraged all of us, start somewhere simple. And everybody can do this. He said, start by speaking words of life and encouragement to people. Come on, how many of you can do that? Start by speaking words of life and encouragement to people, okay? I want to give you some practical applications, some just simple steps that all of us can take to start sharing our faith more effectively. Because this is something that God is calling all of us to do. And I know it can be an intimidating thing, but I want to encourage you today. It doesn't have to be. I want to give you a few simple things that you can do. Here's the first one. Number one, stay grounded in the gospel. I want you to take some notes today. If you don't have the Redemption app on your phone, you can go to our website. Just scroll down to the bottom. You can download the Redemption app. There's a spot where you can take notes on the app. Or, of course, we gave you some note sheets when you came in. No, that's not for you to color and doodle during the sermon. It's for you to take some notes, please. All right, number one, stay grounded in the gospel. Stay grounded in the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. Gospel just means good news that the world is being redeemed by the work of Christ, okay? Keep it simple. Stay focused on Jesus. John 3:16, most famous scripture in the whole Bible, a scripture we see hanging on banners in NFL stadiums on Sundays during football season, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's pretty good news, isn't it? Keep it simple. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus. Can I tell you guys, I never have trouble talking to people about Jesus. I mean, because when you recognize that none of us are perfect, that we all need grace. Come on, you know, one thing we all have in common is we all need grace, don't we? Anybody in here, you don't need grace? The scripture says that his mercies are made new every morning. Sign me up for my daily dose of grace, because I use my daily dose every day. I burn it up. By the end of the day, I'm ready for a new set of grace the next day. And so I find it easy to talk about Jesus because I know I don't have it all together. I know how messed up I am apart from Christ. And so it's just easy to talk about the love of God, like the grace of Jesus. Just keep a simple focus on him. And see, as you talk to people, as you share your faith, usually you get two kind of different reactions. On one end of the spectrum, you get the person who says, well, I'm a good person. You know, like, I don't necessarily believe, but I'm a good person. I don't hurt anybody. I pay my taxes. You know, I try to do good for people. I rescue cats out of trees, and I walk little old ladies across the street. Like, I've never hurt anybody. And so we want to take people to, it's the gospel. It's not about us and what we've done. It's about what Jesus has done. Are you with me? Focus on Jesus. And then the other opposite end of the spectrum, as you share your faith with people, not as you preach at people, but as you just share your faith with people, you'll get this other reaction. People will say, well, you don't understand. You don't know what I've done. Like, you know, the church is for saints. I'm not exactly a saint, you know. I've actually had people react that way. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. You don't understand grace. You understand grace. We're all sinners, right? Like, we're all messed up. Let's be honest. The Church of Jesus Christ, this is recovery for sinners, okay? We are all in recovery together. We are all works in progress. So if you came in here today, if you're new to our church, and you're like, I'm not quite sure about these church people, if they have it all together, listen, we all need Jesus, okay? We're all equally messed up. So we all need the gospel. So you want to point people, whatever reaction you get, you want to point people to the work of Christ in their life, okay? Don't worry about having all the answers. Nobody has all the answers. You don't even want to be friends with somebody who thinks they have all the answers. Let's just be humble and point people to Jesus. Stay grounded in the gospel, okay? That's step number one. Step number two, tell your story. Tell your story. What does that mean? Share your story with somebody. This is what we used to call a testimony, like what God has done in your life. The best message you could ever preach is to tell your own story. Just share your experience with God. Share about his faithfulness in your life, his goodness in your life. Some of you, you do that naturally all the time. You're just at work. You're at school. You're in the neighborhood. You're just talking about how blessed you are, how good God has been to you, and people pick up on that. They see the difference in you. Share your story. Can I tell you this morning, church, somebody needs your story. See, some of you, you've been through some stuff. You've been through some difficult seasons of life. Somebody needs your story. What you went through, you didn't go through what you went through just for you. You went through it for somebody else. Because I have good news for you. God is a redemptive God. There is no season of your life that is wasted. God recycles. He takes the bad stuff, he redeems it, he heals you, and then he uses your story to help somebody else. That's what he does. See, some of you, you've been through some stuff. Maybe you survived sickness, like you went through cancer, and God brought you through that. God wants to use you to bless somebody else who's fighting with cancer right now. Some of you, you've been through a nasty, messy divorce, and you thought your life was going to end, and God brought you through that. And right now, you have a friend who doesn't really know God who's going through that. God wants to use your story to bless them, to help them out. See, what you went through wasn't just for you. It was for someone else. Somebody needs your story. God can take the worst, sometimes the worst moments of our life is where God can do his best work to work through us to help someone else. So just share your story. Share your story. And here's the thing, let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Here's what I've found in sharing my faith with people. I don't have to force anybody to be open to the gospel. The easiest people to share faith with is those are those who are already open. Their hearts are already open. I've learned that. I can't force anyone to be an open. You know, when I was growing up in church, we kind of had a church culture back in the day that it was like, we have to be ready to prove to everybody, like to get out the scriptures and argue with them and convince them and show them, you know, how we know the truth and how they're lost and we can prove it to them. And it was kind of argumentative. I don't ever share faith like that anymore. Because what I've discovered is the only people I can actually reach are people whose hearts are open. And if their hearts are open, how many of you know the Holy Spirit's already working on them? I don't have to pry the door open. Are you with me this morning? And for those who aren't open, I'm going to keep loving on them and keep being a friend to them. And there's going to come a time where maybe they're in need. And I'm going to be there to share the love of Christ with them. So you don't have to force anybody open. You let the Holy Spirit do his work. You just share your story. Can I give you an example real quick? A few years ago, when Amy and I were traveling down to Westchester regularly from upstate New York, we were exploring this area, laying down the groundwork, the foundations for this church plant. And we brought a team of friends down with us from upstate. And we were actually in White Plains one day, and we thought it'd be kind of cool to like meet some people on the street, like do a whole video, you know, like interview on the street and meet people and kind of learn a little bit about Westchester and find out what a church could do here to make a difference. So we set up shop in front of the Starbucks in downtown White Plains, you know, right where the fountains are. And we got this idea, let's bribe people. We're going to go buy some Starbucks gift cards. And what we'll do is we'll bribe people. If they'll give us a few minutes on camera, we'll pay for their Starbucks coffee. So it worked out pretty good. A little church plant hustle, you know what I'm saying? It worked out pretty good. And a few people stopped to talk to us, and we interviewed them. We were asking them questions like, you know, tell us what some of the needs of Westchester are and how could a church make a difference, that kind of thing. And we interviewed a few people. And the whole time there was this guy sitting on a bench right there kind of watching us, checking out what we were doing. He had his dog with him. He was sitting there with his dog and just kind of watching us. Like, I noticed him. And when I was done interviewing a few people, I went and sat down next to him. And I said, hey, man, can I ask you a few questions? He's like, yeah, what's going on? Are you guys like with a TV show or something? I'm like, no, actually, we're here to start a church. And he told me his name was Brad. He's a Jewish guy and really funny guy. We just hit it off. We started talking. I asked him the same questions, you know, what are some of the needs in the community? And he was like, you guys are here to start a church? Like, he couldn't believe it. So he kind of was telling me more of his story. He was living in the Ritz-Carlton right there across from Starbucks and talking a little bit more. And then he would just stop me every so often. He'd be like, so you're really coming here to start a church? I'm like, yeah, you know. He had us cracking up. He was telling us all kind of jokes. Really funny guy. We were actually filming some of it, too. It was really funny. And then the camera went off, and we talked for a few more minutes. And we got to this third time, and he was like, so you guys are really here to start a church? I'm like, yeah, that's what we're doing. We're moving our family here. We're opening a new church in the fall. And then he looked at me, and he busted wide open, and he started weeping. And he said, because I'm really looking for something right now. He said, I'm really looking for something. I'm going through a difficult time in my life. And he started sharing with me about how his family, he was going through a divorce and he was estranged from his kids. And so here's the thing, guys. I wasn't preaching to this guy. I wasn't, you know, trying to convince him about Christianity. We were just talking, just getting to know him and just hearing about Westchester and some of the needs. I was just telling him my story, that we're coming here to move our family to start a church here. And the Holy Spirit had already prepared this guy's heart. And so we're talking, and he says, I don't think that I met you today by accident. I don't think this was an accident. I said, no, I don't think it was an accident either. And then I said, would you mind if this Christian pastor prayed for you? And here's this Jewish guy, and he's like, yeah, would you pray for me? So we locked hands, like, right there, and I prayed for him that he would just know God's love and his purpose for his life and that God would be with him during this difficult season. And can I just tell you, it was a sign for me because I was praying for a sign during that time. But I'm just reminded, you don't have to force anybody open. Are you with me? Like, the Holy Spirit's already working on people's hearts. There are some people who are closed. There are some people who are negative. I get that. But you'd be surprised how people are going through something and they're more open than you think. Most people will take prayer. Most people, when they're going through a difficult season, they'll take your prayers. There's not a lot of people who are like, no, please don't pray for me, even though my life is falling apart and I think I'm going to die. Please don't pray for me. Like, no, most people, no matter what they believe, they're like, yeah, I'll take some prayers. You know, I'm not even sure what I believe, but please send some prayers up for me. Most people will take a hug. Most people will take some words of encouragement. So share your story of how God has been faithful in your life and watch the Holy Spirit do the rest. Here's the third thing. We're talking about some practical steps for sharing our faith, okay? Stay grounded in the gospel. Number two, tell your story. Number three, be a bringer. Turn to somebody and say, be a bringer. Be a bringer. What does that mean? Invite people to church. Be a bringer. Bring people here. Bring them to the family, okay? Bring them here. Some of you are here today because somebody brought you. Some of you brought some friends with you today. Be a bringer. Look at this story. John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. This is the call of Andrew and Simon Peter. Andrew and Peter, two of the most famous apostles, the brothers. They were fishermen. This is John's account of how they became disciples of Jesus. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that what John had said and who had followed Jesus. So first of all, Andrew and Peter were disciples of John the Baptist before they were disciples of Christ. Look at this, verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon, that's Peter, and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. Look at verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. Now here's the amazing thing. We don't know much else about the apostle Andrew. We see a few little snippets about him here and there in the gospel accounts, but we don't know much about Andrew's life. But probably the most important thing that Andrew did was bring his brother Peter to Christ, because we know that Peter would go on to be like the cornerstone apostle, right? Like this great apostle, this great man of faith, this great leader of the church. Listen, we can't all be an apostle Peter, but we can all be an Andrew. Are you with me this morning? We can all be somebody who brings someone to Jesus. The greatest thing you could ever do is be a bringer. Bring people to Christ. I heard a story of a guy named Albert McMakin. Albert McMakin was a farmer in North Carolina. And back in 1934, I think he was 24 years old when a revivalist came to town. And Albert McMakin was a Christian. He'd been praying for his friends in his community. And this revivalist came to town. They had an old-fashioned like revival, like gospel revival in a tent, like church every night. And Albert McMakin invited his friend. He had a friend who was the son of a farmer, very good-looking guy, very popular with the ladies, wasn't really interested in coming to some old revival meeting. He grew up in church. He had been there, done that, knew the whole drill, really wasn't interested in coming. But Albert McMakin, he kind of coerced him to come because he said, if you come, I'll let you drive my family's dairy truck. And this young farmer thought it would be fun to drive this truck full of their friends to the revival meeting every night. Well, when he went to the revival meeting, he was spellbound by the preacher. He came back every night. He couldn't get enough of it. And one night, the revivalist, the preacher, gave an invitation to give for people to give their life to Christ. And this young farmer gave his life to Christ that night, and his life was changed, completely changed from that moment on. And not long after that, he began doing ministry. He got involved in prison ministry, and then he began preaching, and later on his ministry took off. He became a great evangelist, and then he started preaching to millions of people around the United States in big stadiums, reaching people. Then he started going around the world preaching to millions of people, and then as television and these kind of communications began to develop, he began preaching the gospel over the airwaves. And at one point in time in his life, he had spoken to half of the population of the planet, had preached the gospel. And of course, I'm talking about Billy Graham, the evangelist Billy Graham. Now, here's the thing this morning, church. We can't all be a Billy Graham. Billy Graham had a special touch, a special purpose of God for his life. We can't all be a Billy Graham, but we can all be an Albert McMakin, can't we? You can be an Albert McMakin. You can be a bringer. You never know how God is going to use your life. Albert McMakin had been praying for God to do something special in his community. I think God heard his prayers. Hello. You never know how God can use your life when you're a bringer. There's no greater privilege than bringing somebody to know Jesus. I'm standing here today because a little old lady brought my grandmother to church back in the Great Depression. Her next-door neighbor during that season of life invited my grandmother as a little girl to come to church, and she gave her life to Jesus, and generations of my family have been impacted. I'm standing here today because some lady, I don't even know her name, back during the Great Depression, invited my grandmother as a little girl to come to church, and she gave her life to Jesus. That lady didn't think about generations being impacted. She couldn't see me standing here today preaching the gospel in New York. You never know how God can use your life. You know, can I make this real practical for you? We said goodbye to one of our dear families in our church a few weeks ago. The Nadell family moved back to California. John and Lilena, many of you know them, and they'll probably listen to this podcast. And I had a running joke with Lilena. I used to say, Lilena, if you were a salesman in this church, I would owe you the biggest commission, because Lilena brought so many people to church. Many of you who are sitting in this pew today, I see you shaking your heads. You're here because Lilena brought you. Such a simple thing, and it changed your life. You found a church family. Can I bring it home today? Because we can talk about all these people out there. Somebody in our own church family who was a bringer and has blessed this church. God can use your life like you wouldn't believe. Can I tell you this morning, you're not just an ordinary anything. You have a call of God on your life. You have purpose. You have purpose. Get this with me one more time this morning before I pray for you. Jesus, the Son of God, walked the earth in flesh and blood, and he called these disciples to follow him. Fishermen, tax collectors, average guys, okay? We're not talking about the cream of the crop, the best of the best. We're not talking about who's most likely to succeed kind of guys. He grabbed this motley crew of guys around him, and he did ministry with them for 3 years. And he preached, and he taught, and he healed, and he set people free. And then after he was crucified and resurrected, he came to these guys, and he gave them everything. He said, I'm giving you my mission. I'm giving you my legacy. I'm giving you my work. I'm giving you my kingdom and my church. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. He turned everything over to them. He gave them the Holy Spirit. And he said, now go out and change the world. And guess what? They did it. They went out and they did it. They turned the world upside down. We looked at that scripture before where Jesus said, go out into the world, right? Go out into the far reaches of the earth. You know, this morning when we hear that, we think that's some place in Africa or somewhere else. No, can I tell you that Jesus was standing in the Holy Land when he said this in Israel? Do you know that New York was the furthest far-flung part of the world at that time from where Jesus was standing? You're here today because the disciples did it. You're here today because the apostles went out and did what Jesus did. And 2,000 years later, the gospel made it to you. And your life has been changed because they did what Christ called them to do. This is the call of Christ. Jesus didn't just call you to follow him. He is sending you. He's sending you to people around you. He's sending you to friends and family and neighbors and coworkers and classmates. There are people around you who need what you have. There are people around you who are more open than you think. And I want to tell you this morning, I want to flip a switch collectively in this church today. And I want to tell you that the goal of us as Christians is not to arrive safely at heaven, but it's to go out and do the work that Jesus Christ has called us to do, because you are put here on this planet to make a difference, and God wants to work through your life. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you. And here's our prayer. We're going to pray a prayer of commitment together this morning. In just a moment, we're going to receive communion together, and the worship team is going to come back and sing a final song. But this is a moment for us to commit ourselves to this as a church, individually. I know that this message lands on all of us at different places, different seasons of life. Some of you are not even quite sure where you are in the spiritual journey, but I'm telling you this morning, God has a purpose for your life. This is for all of us. If you're a Christian, there's a call in your life. And so this morning, we don't want to just make this personal. And if you're comfortable, would you just take your hands like this? If you're comfortable doing this, this is a sign of surrender. This is a sign to respond to God and say, God, I'm responding with my life today. If you're comfortable, would you do that with me? Bow your head. You can bow your head in this place. Nobody's going to stare at you. And you just lift your hands like this. Say, Jesus, I want to answer your call today. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you so much for your love today. Thank you that you're the God of love that we sang about earlier. You ran after us. You saved us. You gave your son for us. And I thank you that you didn't just save us, but with your salvation came an invitation to join you in your work of redemption in this world. You gave us purpose, God. You've given us a mission, Father. Our lives are a part of something that's bigger than us. Lord, the greatest message, the greatest story, the greatest news the world has ever heard, that there is redemption, there is healing, there is salvation in your son. Lord, you've entrusted us, people like us, with our faults, with our flaws, with our backgrounds. Lord, you've entrusted this message to us. The scripture says that we have this treasure in jars of clay. And God, some days we just feel like jars of clay. But I thank you that you put your treasure inside of jars of clay like us, God. And it's not about the outside. It's not about whether we're perfect or not. It's about the gift that you put on the inside of us. And you are sending us to people who are around us in need of your grace, in need of your love, in need of your good news. And so today, Lord, we commit ourselves to this. If you're willing to pray that with me, would you just mouth that prayer? God, I commit myself. Lord, I recommit myself to be sent, to be a missionary. God, use my life. God, use me to make a difference, that your love would shine through me. Father, I pray that for each person in this place, that you would stir up the gift inside of them, stir up the gift of your Holy Spirit that is in them. Father, some of them, even now, you're putting names and faces on their heart, people who right now that need them, going through something, just need a friend to share your love with them. Father, we commit ourselves to this. Make us those kind of people, those kind of followers, and that kind of church. And we'll do it all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.